Welcome to Life After Journalism, in which we hear from the people who brought us the news and see what they're up to now that they've moved on with their lives. I'm your host, Matt Smith, and as the minute waltz fades away, we ask that the studio audience sit up and pay attention, please, class, to our guest today, Bill Birnbauer. For 30 years, Bill was a journalist at The Age, The Sunday Age, and The Herald Sun, and became well known as an investigative reporter. He's now using all this experience to train the next generation of journalists as the senior lecturer for journalism at Monash University.
All right, well, I was at school and it was a careers night kind of introduction. Would have been in probably year 10 or 11. I was fortunate enough to hear Patrick Tennyson speaking about journalism, and he was a columnist, I think, at the Herald Sun, and also had a radio station. And at that stage, to be honest, I wasn't much of an academic student at all. You know, I mixed with, my parents always called it bad company. It wasn't clear to me what I'd do, and I didn't have any particular passion for anything. But look, I went to a talk that Tennyson gave. I was interested in what he said. I spoke to him afterwards. He invited me to a summer school, which I attended. My mates were out playing pool and chasing girls, and found myself in this bizarre situation. I just loved it. I just thought that maybe I could do this. And then I finished year 12, matriculation, applied everywhere, missed out, went crying to Tennyson. He got me into RMIT, into the journalism course there. At that stage, you had to have a cadetship. I didn't, but he spoke to someone and said something that they let me in, and I did that for a year, and I got a job at the Melbourne Herald a year later.
You have more than 30 years experience working at The Age, The Sunday Age, and The Herald. Yeah. How did journalism change during your time?
I think when I started, it's fair to say that The Herald probably was happy if I got two sides to a story that was regarded as an objective piece of journalism. So if I spoke to a minister or a government spokesperson and then opposition person wrote the story, you were kind of regarded as an out-and-out hero if you met the deadline, and that was good enough. That was quite objective story. Whereas I think nowadays there's more of a recognition that journalism is a hunt for the truth rather than just getting opinions. You could have both sides lying to you, but if you had both sides, that was fine.
Yeah.
That was good enough. Now that's not good enough. And partly that's because of the internet, because people now have access to such a broad range of views. They can access the raw documents. You know, it's a two-way process. And probably in some ways, that's one of the more significant changes. The other one is more growing sophistication of spin and PR and manipulation of information. That has grown enormously in terms of its numbers and in terms of the sophistication of it, to the extent that they're now producing so-called ready-to-go news stories for you, and not worried about the main metropolitans that much, but it's very tempting for editors at smaller publications just to run that stuff without any verification, without any checking, and they're providing vision and content. So, yeah, I guess the internet and the sophistication of the PR stuff have been the biggest influences on journalism.
Has that made the hunt for the truth a lot harder then?
The internet particularly is a double-edged sword. In some ways, the hunt is quicker and easier because you can get a lot of information and find a lot of contacts. And on the other hand, there's a 24/7 pressure to produce. I think there's probably less time to produce verified and quality journalism. Mm. I think access to sources, you know, everything now is channeled through official type spokespeople, media liaison officers, and a lot of the younger journalists, I think, regard them as contacts, whereas contacts and good sources take a long time to build up. I mean, sometimes decades. And so people that I knew when I started and talked to, that I still keep in touch with, now in very senior positions, but it worries me that people haven't been around anywhere near as long. Their contacts virtually are the spin doctors. And so, yeah, I think the truth is harder to get to.
Now, investigative journalists often find themselves uncovering the unexpected. Tell me something about your experiences, and did you ever find yourself being the target of anything?
In effect, we're kind of generally pretty lucky in this country. I mean, a lot of international investigative journalists are putting their lives at risk and being jailed and having guns pointed at them, usually by the government security. You know, the intimidation here is usually legal intimidation. So over the years, I've had notebooks and emails subpoenaed, a lot of legal threats. I've never been sued. let alone successfully sued. When I get a lawyer threatening me on the phone, I just quote them in the article, and that's that. I find that to be very effective.
Do journalists still have the luxury to devote time to investigative reporting?
Depends whether you're an investigative reporter or just a beat reporter. What they're doing is very different. When I was on the inside team, there were three of us then, and we would do almost a pre-investigation of an investigation. So we'd spend a couple of weeks ringing people, ringing sources in a particular area to work out whether this is actually worth spending 2 to 3 months on or more. When we did produce, we then produced usually 3 days worth of stories. So the nature of it has certainly changed, and I think the kind of stories we did, broad public interest. Investigative groups are still given time, although they seem to be producing a lot more than, say, we produced. Beat reporters, probably not. When I was there, I was health, environment and science editor, and I had 4 reporters doing news in that, and I could step back. I could step back and do analysis and investigative reporting. So I don't think the beat guys are getting the time, but the actual reporters who call themselves in full-time investigative stories, I think still get that time.
You took a redundancy in 2008 when Fairfax let go about 100 editorial staff across The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald.
Yeah.
After 30 years, why did you feel this was the time for you to leave?
Just to clarify, I actually wanted to leave. It's not like I was tapped or anything. I actually wanted to go. I wasn't sure that they would let me go, and partly they did because I was on good terms with the editor of the Sunday Age.
They didn't let a few people go, did they?
Gay Alcorn. They didn't let some go, but you know, I just said to Gay, well, look, shit, I've been doing it for 34 years. I think that's kind of a fair innings, and including 6 years on the news desk of the Age, not the Sunday. I kind of felt like, you know, I was kind of entitled for a bit of a break. And to be honest, the main reason I went, being one of the senior people on the Sunday Age, it's hard to do longer term stuff. And I found that with a couple of the stories, I think that one, Shredded by the Law, I pretty much did a lot of that in my own time. Another one, which is a reconstruction of a murder, killed by a sinister lust or something rather, I spent a lot of time reconstructing that, because in the end I felt I had to do 1 or 2 stories a year that challenged me. And I didn't tell the editor I was working on those stories because I knew they would want them straight away. I knew they would want them in the next week's paper as soon as they knew about them. So
yeah.
I felt that that would put a lot of pressure on the story. So what I'm saying is writing the page 3s, 5s, 1, new stories or quick features, I just didn't find satisfying. I love writing, and I needed stories that I felt were of a certain quality and that I felt challenged by. I simply wasn't getting that. There's a couple of books that I want to write. Perhaps I could freelance and just write those. Look, to be honest, there was also a lot of money there after whatever number of years I was at the Age. So really it was a matter of being there a long time, feeling a bit stale, needed to be refreshed, not being challenged, either in intellectual or just kind of journalistic kind of levels.
So you're undertaking higher education now, and you're a senior lecturer in journalism at Monash University. What skills have you found useful in academia from your time as a journalist?
My entry was not planned. I was kind of ambushed. Never really planned to become an academic. But what in fact happened was I left in 2008 in October, and in December I started this job. So basically I had November out. It took me a long time to work out where I was and what I was doing and how to teach. No idea how to teach, no idea how to set up a PowerPoint, no induction whatsoever. Standing in front of 300 kids in a hall, having to talk about what news is, personally I found very challenging. The skills that you bring from journalism in terms of teaching is you basically know how to do it. And you know what I really enjoy most of all is kind of one-on-one, almost an editor reporter relationship with the people doing journalism. So we'll talk about their story, how to enhance the story, which sources to go to, what angles, what breakouts, how the structure should be. I kind of know that instinctively, so it's not hard for me to do that. So I think really that's the main skill. I guess the other one is, you know, you can interview and get on basically with any range of students.
There's quite a trend of former journalists who have turned to academia, and I've heard the term hackademic used recently.
All right.
What do you think of this term, and what do you think of that trend?
Hackademic? Yeah, I hadn't heard it before. I can sort of think I know where it's coming from. You know, I'm now expected to write research papers, right? And it's a completely different style of writing to journalism. I had my first one published in May, which is 6,000 words, and it's very, very different. Even giving people informed consent sheets to sign lest they be discomforted by the interview. Hell, you know, when I was a reporter, if I didn't discomfort someone in an interview, I'd be concerned. And now, you know, I'm kind of mamby-pambing around them, getting them to sign things in case they are discomforted. And in one of them, I had to nominate some areas they could go to get counselling if they were discomforted by the interview. And I, you know, I frankly find that bizarre, and the cultural tensions are real and there. So I guess maybe real academics don't regard journalism as a proper discipline, maybe without the kind of theoretical underpinning that something like history or politics or other areas have. I think it's regarded as a very low level kind of academic activity. You know, there's a big push by Professor Chris Nash, my boss, for journalistic research to be recognised as research, bona fide research. My belief, if you talk to someone who's been an academic for 20 years and is a bona fide academic, well, they'd be probably dismissive. And to be honest, I don't really see myself as an academic. maybe it's just I was a journalist for such a long time. I principally see myself as a journalist, to be honest.
How do you view the news now? And has working as a journalist given you a different perspective on the industry?
I think I'm more critical, I'm more questioning, I'm looking at things that I never looked at previously. I'm looking at the way political arguments and debates are covered and framed by the media. I'm much more aware of agendas that might be driven by the media, campaigns that are really in some ways advocacy rather than journalism. Those kind of issues is far greater. Frankly, you know, as a journalist, you're kind of flat out chasing the next story and worrying about deadlines. And look, in some ways, it's a great time to be out because of what's happening with, well, you know, the media inquiry, issues of privacy, the whole iPad, you know, paid content. It is actually an interesting time to be out of journalism. And I'm kind of glad I did journalism first and then became an academic rather than the other way around.
Okay, and my last question, what's one piece of advice you could give to all students trying to establish themselves as journalists?
To students, I've got a lot of advice really, but this need to be published. Well, the advice in terms of getting jobs is they really need to be published and have a portfolio. Advice in terms of journalism is to get out of the office and go and speak to people. You know, make contact, get out there and meet people one-on-one and start worrying about words and writing. One of the things that journalists don't talk about, you know, I've just been to this investigative conference in Sydney and look, it's great and, you know, I was on a couple of panels and those sort of conferences, journalists never talk about writing or the word as such or the weight of certain word. It's still important. Yeah, and I think younger journalists tend to rattle things off because they're used to SMSing and texting and not worrying about the words, but really aim for quality. I think it's really important.
Bill Birnbauer there, the Senior Lecturer for Journalism at Monash University. Next week on Life After Journalism, we'll hear from James Button, former European correspondent for The Age.